Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, get ready. It is once again overly complicated, procedurally dense lawyer consulting, language parsing, Canadian political scandal explaining time. Are you as pumped as I am? Good.
The allegations in the Globe and Mail that the Prime Minister's office allegedly put pressure on the then Attorney General, Jody Wilson-Raybould, to intervene in a criminal investigation into the business dealings of SNC-Lavalin.
Conservative leader Andrew Scheer has written to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau asking that he waive solicitor-client privilege so that the former Attorney General can talk publicly about what happened with SNC-Lavalin.
This matter strikes at the very heart of our rule of law and calls into serious question the ethics and conduct of those at the highest levels.
There's an entire 24-hour political outrage industrial complex dedicated to making sure you believe the SNC-Lavalin controversy is a very big deal. That's how these things work now. But that doesn't mean in any way that the allegations facing the Prime Minister's office aren't serious. There is already, for example, an outcry from the opposition and an ethics commissioner's investigation beginning. Whether it's because at the end of this convoluted saga, the Liberal government will be revealed as corrupt and dirty, or because the Conservatives will be banging this issue like a drum until October either way, you're probably going to need to know the background. So let's do it. Three questions. Did the Prime Minister's office abuse its authority and interfere with the rule of law in defense of Quebec engineering company SNC-Lavalin? And if it did, is this the scandal that can cost Trudeau and the Liberals this fall's election? And finally, can we come up with a better shorthand for this scandal already? Because the SNC-Lavalin controversy is getting painful. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Cormac McSweeney is our man in Ottawa. He is the Parliamentary Hill correspondent for City News and for Rogers radio stations across the country. We like to go to him to make complicated things simple, so this is a good one. First of all, tell me, what is an SNC-Lavalin?
And SNC-Lavalin happens to be a company, a really, really big company, in fact. It's based out of Montreal, and it is probably one of the world's largest engineering firms. This is a powerhouse when it comes to engineering and construction. SNC-Lavalin not only has a number of projects, big projects that it's done here in Canada, but it is well known around the globe. It has had government contracts in many different countries. I think there have been some reports that they do projects in more than 160 countries. So that's huge for a Quebec company to have its fingers in projects around the globe. So it's a very big company with, I think, something like 9,000 employees here in Canada alone, as well as employees around the world as well. So it's a huge company that has a lot at stake throughout this controversy.
What did they do to end up at the center of this controversy?
So SNC-Lavalin has had a history of allegations against it as a company. It's faced at times some allegations of really around the way they do business. There were claims that the company had engaged in bribery in a Bangladesh project. There is also the fact that the former CEO has now pleaded guilty to breach of trust in regards to the construction project of a Montreal hospital. But the specific allegations that have landed the PM and the Justice Minister in some hot water and in the middle of this whole controversy has to do with Libya. Now, back in the days of former late dictator Muammar Gaddafi, SNC-Lavalin had landed a number of government contracts in Libya. And there were questions as to how the company landed those projects. That includes building an irrigation system, a prison. And the RCMP began investigating, and eventually it led to the point where they had determined and claimed that SNC-Lavalin was bribing Libyan officials to get these contracts. And so SNC-Lavalin is now facing charges, some criminal charges of fraud and corruption in regards to the allegations that they were bribing Libyan officials. SNC-Lavalin since then has been lobbying the government to try and get what's called a deferred prosecution agreement, which is a very specialized practice that essentially allows the company to sort of cut a deal with prosecutors rather than going to a criminal trial.
And this would be where the federal government comes into play.
Yeah. So these deferred prosecution agreements are fairly new to Canada, in fact, but not new to some of our allies. This has been established for some time in the United States and in the United Kingdom. But Canada only had them in place last year. And the government put this new agreement in place. And the way it sort of works is that the company can sort of go to the prosecutors and say, look, we want to have this deferred prosecution agreement, also called a remediation agreement. And essentially it allows the company to kind of accept some responsibility, but not full responsibility for the actions of some of its employees. And through the agreement, they could pay penalties, significant financial penalties for something that may have happened, but they don't face the full criminal charges. If this does happen, if these criminal charges are followed through and there is a conviction and this company ends up losing a ton of business as a result of that, it could lead to tons and tons of layoffs. I mean, SNC-Lavalin, as our example, has about 9,000 employees here in Canada. They could end up, because of loss of business, laying off hundreds, if not thousands, of employees. And so the DPAs are supposed to be another option so that the company and the government can avoid massive layoffs, which would have a ripple effect on the economy and other industries that may rely on the specific company that is in question for work, and sort of allow the company, I guess, a second chance to really make good what it did wrong.
So my question then, and I think a lot of Canadians have this question, because all of that seems understandable. So where is the scandal and why is it such a big deal?
So the scandal comes into whether or not politics is playing a role in what should be our independent justice system. Under DPAs, if the justice minister, attorney general, and it's really in the role, because I should clarify, the justice minister and the attorney general, while often are the same person holding both of those roles, those are two separate titles. Justice minister tends to lean a little bit more, that role a little bit more political. The attorney general is supposed to be a more independent role, which makes the attorney general a unique position in cabinet because they oversee prosecutions in Canada. They have to stay very independent. So with that in mind, the attorney general has to make a decision on whether or not to follow through with one of these deferred prosecution agreements, the DPAs, or whether to continue to pursue criminal charges against a company like SNC-Lavalin. And so if there is a transparent process in which if that is the route that's being taken, then there has to be public reporting of that, and there has to be justification of that. So there is a transparent process to do that. The allegations that popped up in the Globe and Mail are that while that decision was being made on whether or not to go down the DPA route or continue on with these criminal charges, the Globe is citing unnamed sources who claim that the justice minister at the time, Jody Wilson-Raybould, had been heavily pressured by officials within the prime minister's office to try and go down the route of a deferred prosecution agreement. However, Jody Wilson-Raybould refused to go down that route because her prosecutors were saying, and the Department of Prosecution were saying, that they wanted to follow through with these criminal charges. And so she took that advice and decided not to go down the DPA route. According to the Globe and Mail, this is how it all shook out. And that really sparked the controversy, the questions around whether there was political interference in what should be an independent decision in our justice system.
So the Globe and Mail publishes this story with these allegations, and all hell breaks loose, at least in a very polite, complicated Canadian political scandal way, right?
Yeah, it's it is very Canadian in some ways, because the parsing of words really does matter in this.
That's why it's so confusing, too. Can I just say, I think to average Canadians who are seeing this and realizing that, like, there's allegations of wrongdoing here, but it's so opaque. It's hard to tell what the scandal is and what the big deal would be, even if it was proven to be true. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and of course, you only bring me on the show to talk about these very complex layered issues.
I know. We like to test you. But no, seriously. So the Globe and Mail publishes this story, and everybody starts screaming their own version of stuff, right?
Yeah, and I went up to the Hill outside the House of Commons and started talking to people saying, hey, what do you think of this? And so there were a number of Liberal MPs who said, I haven't read this yet. I don't know what you're talking about. An unusual number of Liberal MPs who didn't read the Globe and Mail that morning with some explosive allegations in it. But there were also a number of conservatives who were speaking out saying this is shocking, this is not right, and they want to see some sort of investigation or inquiry into it. The Prime Minister was asked, what do you say to these allegations? And flat out he said,
the allegations in the Globe story this morning are false.
A pretty significant denial from the Prime Minister until he added,
neither the current nor the previous Attorney General was ever directed by me or by anyone in my office to take a decision in this matter.
And what people jumped on immediately in that news conference was that word direction, because nowhere in the Globe and Mail were they suggesting that there was an order from the Prime Minister or his office
right, to
take a certain action on this. The story was that there was an attempt to pressure, an attempt to influence the minister in one way or another. And then, of course, the question was, no, Prime Minister, the allegation wasn't direction. The allegation was influence or pressure. What do you say to that? And he went right back to his scripted line. The opposition jumped on that and said,
it obviously sounded like those words were written by a lawyer, not the Prime Minister's own words. He refused to answer questions about whether or not there was any interference. He kept coming back to a very carefully, legally vetted response.
And in the days that followed, the opposition again jumped on this, saying we want an independent investigation through the Justice Committee. And both the Conservatives and NDP members have said that they are going to have a meeting to put forward a motion to call a number of witnesses, including staff members from the Prime Minister's office and the former Justice Minister, Jody Wilson-Raybould. And then there was also an official complaint filed by the NDP and some outside organizations asking the Ethics Commissioner to investigate. On top of that, a lot of people were wondering, well, what does Jody Wilson-Raybould, the former Justice Minister, have to say about this whole thing? She has not said anything. She said no comment, essentially. And then it got to the point where on Friday, she sent out a statement to the media clarifying why she's not commenting, saying, look, I believe I'm bound by solicitor-client privilege on this matter, and as such, I can't say anything. And that has led then to the opposition calling on the Prime Minister to waive the solicitor-client privilege, to free the minister up to speak about whether or not she felt any pressure. And then over the weekend as well, we had basically all the spinning from every side on this story. We saw the Justice Minister hitting the rounds on the media, talking about how he didn't think, the current Justice Minister, that is, how he didn't think that, there was anything in the Globe and Mail article that justified an investigation. But on top of that, he also told CTV that he's not really ruling out the possibility of cutting one of these DPA deals moving forward with SNC-Lavalin, but said, the matter's before the courts and he doesn't want to discuss that possibility any further. But also there were government officials, not the Prime Minister, not the Minister, but government officials who then admitted, yes, we did have internal government discussions on the possibility of a DPA with SNC-Lavalin, on the route forward with SNC-Lavalin. They said that all of these discussions are not unusual. They were not unfair. They were totally legal for a cabinet to discuss the future of a company in a situation like this. But they stressed to both the Globe and Mail and the Canadian press, these government officials stressed that we should not be confusing vigorous debate within government as being unfair or undue pressure on a justice minister. So the plot kind of thickens, raises more questions. What exactly were those conversations? What exactly was said to the justice minister? Did she perceive it differently than the way these government officials perceived it? A lot of questions here. We don't have a lot of answers. Still searching for some of those answers from the prime minister and the government. We'll have to wait and see what they say.
Do you get the sense that this is a political bubble scandal or something that has the power to reach beyond that and become a general election issue?
There are a lot of political observers and pundits who say this is the type of thing that could bring down a government. It could be big. It all depends on what is said and how it plays out from here. But I will sort of take us all a step back from all the political rhetoric that we're all talking about. What we have here are some allegations. We don't have, without the specifics, it's really hard to say where this goes from here. This could be explosive. It already is explosive, but it could be even more damaging for the government moving forward, depending on how this shakes out. At the same time, if this ends up being a one-month kind of controversy or scandal and then kind of dies off after that, it's a very complex argument, and I think a lot of voters, their eyes glaze over when they hear terms like deferred prosecution agreement and political, judicial, and as you start to get more into the weeds on this, it gets more confusing for voters to follow on a simple news story. That being said, the opposition is not going to let this up. They're going to hammer the government hard, and if they can put it into plain speak that a lot of Canadians understand, this could be very damaging for the Trudeau Liberals. So, just a lot of questions about where we go from here and how long this controversy will last and how much damage it could inflict on the Trudeau government.
And it's early Monday afternoon now, and you are headed up to the Hill, and the Prime Minister is going to speak?
We'll see what he says.
Cormac is back from gathering comment from the latest spin cycle. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, not a problem.
What is the new narrative this afternoon? Did anyone say anything to move it along?
It's funny. I was jumping out to see the justice minister and monitoring the prime minister from abroad, but it was a third party that really did break the news this afternoon. While I was watching the justice minister speak, the ethics commissioner, the federal ethics commissioner, has confirmed that he has launched an investigation into these allegations. And so that's some pretty big news. The complaint was put forward by two NDP MPs believing that a couple of sections of the Conflict of Interest Act were breached. The ethics commissioner says, when it comes to Section 7, he doesn't feel that there's any, basis for an investigation there. But on Section 9, it questions whether there's a conflict of interest and decisions may have been influenced for, some sort of, private gain, that he would be looking into that segment of the Conflict of Interest Act into these allegations. And so that's a big development. The Prime Minister was asked about this when he was speaking in Vancouver. The Prime Minister says that he welcomes this investigation. He says investigations like this are important in order to give Canadians some confidence in their political system. So he's taking that in. He also said a couple of other very interesting things about all of this. One is in regards to the opposition calls that they waive solicitor-client privilege because the Attorney General is the top lawyer for the government. And they do share that privilege in terms of conversations about legal discussions. But, it's not a simple matter, as the Prime Minister says. And so he said that he will be seeking legal advice from his current justice minister as to whether he can waive that privilege so that Jody Wilson-Raybould can speak publicly about the allegations. And she's in the center of all of this. So that is interesting. The Prime Minister also said that he has met twice over the last couple of days with Jody Wilson-Raybould. He's on a Vancouver swing right now as we discuss this. And she is a Vancouver MP. That is interesting because he did say that when they met, they did discuss a conversation that the two had had in the fall, in which he says he told Wilson-Raybould that the decision on the SNC-Lavalin case was hers alone, sort of trying to give the impression by telling that story that there was no pressure because it was basically told flat out to her that she had the final say on this. That's right. What I'm picking up from his comments. But again, without hearing from Jody Wilson-Raybould, there are still questions. Are we missing certain aspects to the story or not? Do we take the prime minister at his word when he says that that was the conversation that they had? So a big piece of the puzzle, it remains missing. And I will point out, the prime minister was in Vancouver for this unrelated announcement that led to this Q&A. A bunch of local Liberal MPs stood behind him as a show of support for the prime minister. Jody Wilson-Raybould was not among them. The prime minister was asked about her absence, and he said, you know, we have a lot of ministers, and not all of them can be at every event. They're off in their own ridings doing important work. And so that's his explanation, but a notable absence for sure.
Sure. And we're, as we talk, about 8 months away from the election. I know we talked earlier this morning, and you're like, well, it might be a scandal that kind of runs out of a cycle in a month, but now there's an ethics commissioner investigation. Should we just, for better or worse, settle in for the long haul of learning about SNC-Lavalin all summer?
I think this is a big question mark over this prime minister, what exactly happened here. And unless we hear from Jody Wilson-Raybould, the now Veterans Affairs Minister, former Justice Minister, or unless there are many more conversations with the prime minister in which he sort of, you know, gives us the full scope of what exactly happened here, this ethics investigation is going to hang over his head. So the one thing I will point out is that the ethics investigations can take months. They're not a quick matter. And so,
right,
there will be questions for many months ahead, and the big question will be whether this investigation will even happen or be concluded before the next election.
So what is officially next? What will actually be the next event or procedure that gives us some concrete info on what's unfolding?
It could possibly come in the days or weeks ahead. On Wednesday, we do have a meeting of the Federal Justice Committee where they will be discussing an opposition motion that will basically call a number of witnesses, high-profile witnesses, including Jody Wilson-Raybould and a number of close advisors to the prime minister, including his chief of staff, Katie Telford, and his principal advisor, Gerald Butts. And so if that motion does pass in this Justice Committee, then we could see a full committee investigation. Although the Toronto Star has said that it's unlikely that it'll go that way, that Liberals might try to block that. The chair of that committee, a Liberal MP, has said that, you know, they might be open to it, but in only certain ways. So it, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But if it does go through and we do see these witnesses being called, we could get some answers that way. Although signals from the Liberals right now is that the opposition won't get its way 100%.
And in the meantime, we will try to parse the parliamentary particulars as we go, I guess.
Yeah, I hope I didn't make this more confusing for listeners, but it definitely is a very layered story. You know, as we said, there are some who say that they think that this is the type of scandal and controversy that could bring down a government. So a lot is riding on this for the Trudeau Liberals, and we'll have to wait and see how this really shakes out and how voters react to this controversy.
Thanks, Cormac.
Anytime.
Cormac McSweeney, Parliament Hill correspondent for City News and Rogers Radio. That was The Big Story. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. There are episodes there that are not complicated scandals, I promise. You can also find us at frequencypodcastnetwork.com, on the Twitter machine, at TheBigStoryFPN, and at FrequencyPods, and in whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, anywhere you want them. You can rate us, you can review us, you can leave us a comment. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.